Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what am I? Favorite Christmas songs ever, of all time, ladies and gentlemen, really testifying of Christ like no other, truth telling the best it gets. Did you know that God lives and that he loves you and that he's got commandments to bless you and your life, that he's put together the fundamental unit of society, the family, to help you to live with him again? Oh, yeah.
Mary, did you know?
My personal opinion, she may not have known all at first. We usually learn line upon line.
Hey, Hollins family, thank you so much for watching.
All right, anyway, Peter Hollins with that, ladies and gentlemen, doing a phenomenal job. Just incredible. I wanted to play that last song. We're not going to play any more Christmas tunes for the rest of the year. And you say, Sam, why did you even play them after Christmas? Come on now. Because I want us to remember the season. I want us to feel it. That's what I want. I want us to feel it. I want us to know. And I want the testimony of Christ to ring on. And I hope that every day we can make it Christmas Day. Not necessarily in terms of giving everybody presents and all that, but I'm talking about in terms of the way we live our lives. Do we have a method, or I'm sorry, do we have a mantra of civility amongst us? Kindness, patience, respect? Will we live and let live? Will we let people kind of do their own thing in hopes that people will let us do the own thing? Do our own thing. That's our hope. So there you have it. Anyway, tomorrow we'll be focusing on Christmas Day, I might add. On New Year's Day. A little bit. We'll be talking about the new year. We'll be kicking off. What do we expect the new year to look like? We'll do that in the next couple of days. I believe that we got to do it all on Christmas or New Year's Day. I don't believe we have to do, recap by the end of the year. I think just around that time is good. Everybody will be having tomorrow, for example, the recap of 2021. And then on January 1st, I'll be talking about the new year and everything. I'm going to put it off for a day or two and talk about it a little bit later than everybody else to kind of stagger that discussion intentionally as well. So be ready for that. Ghislaine Maxwell, ladies and gentlemen, found guilty on sex trafficking charges. Yep, turns out 5 out of 6 counts guilty. They say she could be in prison for 65 years. I don't know the time. Some say it's 5 years per count. That would be 25 years. I don't really know how long she'll be in prison. I suspect her prison will be a cush prison life in the first place. Again, remember, the more famous you are, the more popular you are, the more money you have, the more you just have a peachy time in prison. You know, Jeffrey Epstein was in prison for literally being a pedophile with little girls. And they literally let a guy out on work release, and he used to just be involved with little girls while he was even on work release from prison kind of stuff. Nobody monitored that guy. Nobody tracked it. He was the favorite's favorite. I mean, look, you got Donald Trump and Bill Clinton and everybody else that was on the Lolita Express kind of things. And Jeffrey Epstein's, quote, private island and all this kind of stuff. That story is deep. But they managed to go ahead and skate by with a few women saying, hey, he was a pervert. And Ghislaine, you're a pervert, too. And, well, they didn't dig into too much because they didn't really bring out how many people were involved with Jeffrey Epstein. They didn't take the whole child sex trafficking ring down. No, they just barbecued her and kind of drug in how perverted Jeffrey was. He's dead, so he doesn't matter. She'll go ahead and, you know, skate off to La La Land, and they're not going to really open up a can of worms on this at all. They're not going to get to it. I wish they would, but they're not. The sex trafficking rings are too, what do you want to call it, prevalent, too entrenched. That story is a big one indeed. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty on sex trafficking charges. There's a Supreme Court case update from the American Family Association president, Tim Wildman. They call it an AFA action alert. AFA.net is where that comes from. Now, the AFA doing a great job. I don't know if you know. A lot of people have been suing over this COVID fiasco, as you know, right? And you don't hear too much about this American Family Association lawsuit. I don't know why. But I'm going to go ahead and play this Supreme Court case update from the American Family Association so you kind of know where we're at. Here it is.
Hi, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association. You may have heard that we, AFA, and some other ministries are challenging the Biden mandate with regards to the vaccines and how that affects our particular ministry. We're challenging that at the highest level at the Supreme Court. And Abraham Hamilton III here is with me. Abe is our general counsel. Abe, we're being represented by who?
First Liberty out of Plano, Texas, where Kelly Shackelford is the principal there, friends of our ministry, and also Warriors for the Faith and in the courtroom who are representing us in this particular litigation.
All right. Where does our case stand?
Yeah, right now. And so just anybody who may not know, because AFA is based in Mississippi, we're in the Fifth Circuit's jurisdiction. So our original petition fighting against this mandate started in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. In response to our petition, the Fifth Circuit said, Mr. Biden, your administration, you can't do it. So they stayed the application of the mandate. Well, because a case was filed in every circuit in the whole country, the cases were submitted through a case lottery system that resulted in them being the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. As soon as the lottery system took effect, the Biden administration asked the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to lift the stay, preventing them from implementing this mandate, okay? The Sixth Circuit granted that request to lift the stay. We immediately filed a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court saying, put the stay back in place pending full resolution of this matter. In response to that, the Supreme Court gave the Biden administration a deadline of December 30th, this Thursday, at 4 p.m. Eastern, to respond to our emergency petition. Finally, the Supreme Court said, not only do we require the Biden administration to respond to that stay, we're going to hear the case basically on the meat of the issue with this emergency temporary standard is what it's called. So the Supreme Court has now set an oral argument date of January 7th, where this issue will be argued before the U.S. Supreme Court, including our issues that are being represented in the oral argument to determine whether or not this thing is constitutional. And as the whole time when we said the issue is not whether or not the vaccines are good, bad, or whatever, the question is, does the federal government, the executive branch, have the authority to force us to make our staff members get the shot or get tested?
We say no. The President of the United States does not have the authority to force that. So we'll see where this, what happens at the Supreme Court level. We ask you to pray about this situation. It's Thursday.
Thursday is their deadline to respond to our petition, and the oral argument is January 7th.
All right, we'll keep you posted, folks. Thanks for joining us.
There you have it. The American Family Association, in my opinion, doing a stellar job. And there's a Supreme Court case update from the American Family Association President Tim Wildman, and doing a great job. I appreciate them and their lawsuits. They're forcing it to go all the way to the Supreme Court. I, again, don't believe we need to go to the courts for this, because I believe states can just nullify now. And that's what states ought to be doing. But most states aren't willing to go that far and to take that on. A few are, and I'm grateful for them. But in the example of the AFA and others, in other words, businesses or nonprofits or whatever else, you know, our entities, our redress of grievance is the courts. All right, look at your First Amendment. You have the right to your free speech. You have the right to freedom of religion. You have the right to freedom of the press. You have the right to peacefully assemble. I never said protest, by the way. You have the right to peacefully assemble, and you have a right to a redress of grievances. And the courts are where we take that in America. Hopefully, the Supreme Court will be honorable about this discussion. But the two dates today, the 30th, which is Thursday, 4:30 or whatever it was, Eastern time, we should get a response by that time frame, and we'll know what they're saying. And then on the 7th, the litigation for this begins. So 2022 kicks off with litigation at the Supreme Court by the American Family Association, standing for our rights not to be forced by your president to get a vaccination or a test. That's good news that we fight for freedom, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable, live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman on your radio. Got a lot going on in the news, ladies and gentlemen. Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty. I bet you'll have a cush time in prison. I'll tell you that right now. I pray that, that justice is really done here, but I just don't have confidence. The richer you are, the more, quote, inside status you have. And trust you, me being the female leader of a sex trafficking ring, there's a lot of rich and famous people that are dependent on her to stay quiet, right? Now, they say that she named names, but I don't believe it. Whose names? Where? Are people getting arrested because she named names? What's going on? See, I don't really see any repercussions, because the crime syndicate, when it comes to sex trafficking, And when it comes to perversions, it's just too great in America, too great around the world now. Perverts and, it's hard to even drill into and discuss. It's so evil and bad. The Supreme Court case update, we should get an answer, hopefully, from the government by 4:30 today. The American Family Association. And then they litigate this thing on January the 7th in the Supreme Court, kicking off 2022 with a bang, I guess, right? All right, Freedom Watch is a group started by Larry Klayman. Larry Klayman started Judicial Watch, then moved on to Freedom Watch. He's with Freedom Watch now. He's the lead counsel, lead attorney there. And Klayman says, watch the hypocrisy over Harry Reid. Bottom line is, Harry Reid was a corrupt disgrace of a senator. I agree with Larry Klayman on that reality. Harry Reid was a shame, a disappointment. He literally called Richard Mack a terrorist and people like me terrorists. The guy really was a bad guy in the Senate. He did not stand for the Constitution. He did not keep his oath of office. All that's true. But I disagree with Larry Klayman a little bit in that you can criticize his actions, but I wouldn't criticize the person. The choices Harry Reid made were less than desirable, that's for sure. But you know what? I don't want to attack the guy in death. My response is, you know what? As a senator, he failed the people without a doubt. But you know what? I hope that his family finds peace. And I hope that as he's on the other side of the veil now with his maker, that on that side of the veil, he has a change of heart is my prayer. So I get the hypocrisy where everybody's running around and, you know, praising him as a wonderful man, incredible loss to the nation, a great senator of this and that. The hypocrisy is sickening. I agree with Larry Klayman. But I also agree that let's not attack the guy in his death. Let's say, hey, he'll meet his maker. Our prayers are that it goes well for him. I'll tell you that right now. And our prayers are that he has a change of heart and he has remorse for his actions on the earth that really created all kinds of mischief and harm and et cetera to people. But in the meantime, I pray for his family, though. It's a sad loss for them. And you know what? We need to have a little bit of the Savior's understanding of this. You know, even if we disagree with somebody, we can still grieve for them. We can still have sorrow for their loss. I'll give you an example. Lazarus, the girls were just absolutely freaking out. You know what? Lazarus is dead. What are we going to do? And instead of the Savior just going, don't worry about it. I got this, man. Don't worry about it. And laughing at him or saying whatever. He took the time, even when he came, days later he came, and he took the time to even stop before he rose Lazarus from the dead. And he stopped and he mourned with those girls. Didn't he? He mourned with them and he understood their pain and their suffering and their difficulties. And I think we need to learn to follow the master and do the same. Even if, you know, for us something doesn't seem to be really critical or important or whatever. We need to have respect and honor for others and have... You know what? Grieve with those who grieve and celebrate with those who celebrate and bear the burdens of one another. That's our commitment of baptism, right? And we can have proper grieving for people. So I grieve with Harry Reid's family. I'm sure it's a loss of a father and a husband and a grandfather and a whatever, all these things. And it's a sad tale. But I want to be very careful that we remember how we should behave. I don't agree with him being a senator and his actions as a senator at all. In fact, to me, it was a sad disgrace. But at the same time, he's a son of God as well, and I pray for his soul. Anyway, I think it's worthy of that discussion. But anyway, then the Savior, after he grieved with the women, he then went and said, hey, Lazarus, come forth, and he brought him back to life. What an incredible miracle. The gift of life, no doubt. And so I bring that up, though, because the Savior Jesus Christ understands all these emotions and can properly process them, whereas oftentimes we can't. We get sideways so easily. But we can always look to the Master, to Jesus Christ, as a guide. right? We can always look to that as an example and a solution. And you know what? We live in the real, but we strive for the ideal. No doubt Jesus Christ lived the ideal. I know we're in the real, and I'm far from the ideal, but I can sure work on making my real closer and closer to the ideal by trying, by striving, by working at it, by doing my very best. That's what I want to do. All right, speaking of religious things, this is just sick, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know really how to even report this kind of a story to you, but I must, because I want you to understand what's going on around the world. It's just sick. Bible Museum in Germany portrays Jesus as the, quote, Queen of Heaven. This is simply man trying to bring God down to his own level. Bob Unruh, WorldNet Daily, or WND.com with the piece. A Bible museum in Germany has staged a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer themed exhibit that proclaims to all, you are good as you are. And it's been slammed as a, quote, profane perversion of the Bible by Franklin Graham and other religious leaders. Franklin Graham, as you know, is with America's Purse, or Samaritan's Purse, and the ministry there, right? The idea that there's an LGBTQ theme in the Bible is a lie, Graham told Fox News. When homosexuality is mentioned in the Bible, it is sin, it's rebellion against God, and it's associated with the judgments of God. Any suggestion that Jesus Christ is, quote, transgender is not only false, but it's just sick. We know who Jesus Christ is, Graham continued. And from the time of Christ's birth on that Christmas morning to his sacrificial death on the cross to his resurrection from the tomb, the Bible only refers to Jesus Christ as a male. And it's about the Prince of Peace. It's a profane perversion. Amen. I just don't even know how to exactly report these kind of stories, because they're unhinged, folks. They're just insane. Can you imagine a suggestion that Jesus Christ is transgender? It's not only false, it's just sick. Wow, I don't really know how to respond to the whole thing, because it's just so diabolical, so evil, so dishonest, so corrupt, so immoral, that it's hard for guys like me in the news to even respond to the discussion. I mean, you know, does this deserve a response? Does this deserve to be highlighted in the news? On one hand, you think you ought to not even mention it, because it's just so sick and so off base, so unhinged, so crazy, that you don't even want to give it any time. The reason that I give it time, though, is literally, if it's a museum, folks, it's beyond just an idea or a suggestion from some whacked out collegiate professor somewhere or something. This is literally codified in the physical world, promoting this perversion. And you could say, well, it's in Germany, it's not in America. You know what? It's coming to a museum near you if we're not very careful, ladies and gentlemen. We better push back on this in the culture war like nobody's business. Don't let it take root. They've already, portrayed Jesus Christ as gay in films and everything else. I reject the narrative. Jesus Christ is a male. God created male and female, and Jesus Christ is male. He's literally the Son of Almighty God. Let's never forget that reality, shall we? I am Sam Bushman. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds on your favorite radio station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
COVID-19 cases in the United States reached a pandemic record this week of 265,000 plus cases a day on average. It should be noted deaths and hospitalizations are not keeping pace. A jury found Ghislaine Maxwell guilty on 5 of 6 counts related to her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of minor girls. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams.
Unanimous jury has found Ghislaine Maxwell guilty of one of the worst crimes imaginable, facilitating and participating in the sexual abuse of children, crimes that she committed with her longtime partner and co-conspirator, Jeffrey Epstein.
Maxwell attorney Bobby Sternheim, after the verdict was read Wednesday evening.
We firmly believe in Ghislaine's innocence. Obviously, we are very disappointed with the verdict. We have already started working on the appeal, and we are confident that she will be vindicated.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently, remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free. With an annual subscription, it's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
President Biden will take a call with Russian President Vladimir Putin this afternoon, Eastern Time, to discuss a range of topics, including upcoming diplomatic engagements with Russia. The call was requested by Putin, and according to an administration official, Biden accepted because, quote, he believes when it comes to Russia, there is no substitute for a direct leader-leader dialogue, end quote. More details are coming out with regards to the multi-location murder spree in Denver, Colorado earlier this week.
A Denver police spokesman said the writings are part of the investigation into what led 47-year-old Lyndon James McLeod to carry out the Monday shootings. Authorities believe McLeod wrote fictional books self-published online that named some of his real-life victims and described similar attacks. Police say McLeod knew most of the people he shot through business or personal relationships, and they're still investigating the motive. In the USA Radio Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to deal with this story. It's just sick. They're portraying in Germany in a museum that Jesus is transgender. Folks, it is absolutely sick. They're calling him the Queen of Heaven. I mean, it is insane, unhinged, and we better push back in the culture war against this false, dishonest narrative. They're trying to crucify Christ afresh. Don't let them do it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't stand for it. Push back. Be polite, but you know what? We're not going with this dishonest, perverted, psychotic, unhinged narrative. All right, there you have that. By the way, the truth is starting to come forward and win. This is the good news for today. Headline says Americans are fleeing states with lockdown economies and lockdown government schools in large numbers. I guess the United States Census Bureau released state population and domestic migration estimates for April 1st, 2020 through July 1st, 2021. And they say in statistics published December 21st. And the interesting thing is this. It's clear from the census data which side is winning the contest for talent and taxpayers. States with the most strict pandemic lockdown measures also lost the greatest number of residents, according to statistics. All right, you ready for the deal, ladies and gentlemen? California, New York, and Illinois lost the most. New York was the worst, California second, Illinois third. Wow, right? There you have it. The lockdowns, people are just simply not liking this stuff. Texas gained the most. Are you surprised? Texas in the gain column. They say 25 states with the most in-person learning in schools for 2021 gained the most. All right. That's according to the Wall Street Journal op-ed. They say former whacked out governor, Andrew Cuomo, suggested that he may challenge the Census Bureau's population calculation because I guess they lost a state Congress member. California also lost a seat, but the evidence is clear. Yeah. They don't really go into all the different states, the details, but it's interesting to say the least. And I really commend, the reporting on this. Because I look at this and I go, wow. Lost the most. Texas gains the most. Isn't that interesting? The truth is coming out, folks. That's the good news here, in my opinion, in this piece. I really find it tremendous. You think the states will listen and pay attention? When Americans are fleeing states with lockdown economies and schools in large numbers, people are fleeing. You think they'll really do so in continuing large numbers to where the states will be forced to kind of pay attention to this? Or do you think New York just says, who cares? California says, who cares? Illinois says, who cares? Texas now literally making part of their, what's it called when you have your Chamber of Commerce and you push to bring business to your state? There's a term for that. I can't remember what it's called right now. Anyway, they're using it in their advertising and all their appeals. Come to Texas where people are free. Florida's doing the same thing. A lot of the Rocky Mountain states are doing the same thing where they're saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you come where there's a more friendly climate to business? Why don't you join us? We're not going to be as hostile. I think that's very interesting indeed as well. Anyway, so Americans are fleeing states with lockdowns. It's clear from the data who's winning the debate. Texas, one of the lead states to gain residents because they're not so hostile, right? All right, I guess there's a multi-trillion dollars, what they're calling this. A multi-trillion dollar damaged solar storm awaits. They say this could literally be the end of the world as we know it. WorldNet Daily with the piece. WND.com has this. And it's a big article about, you know what? It's a multi-trillion dollar damaged solar storm that's going to come. They really in the article articulate, it's not if, it's when. And are we ready? And the answer is we're not ready at all. When it happens, it's going to be bad news bears, they say. It's going to be a disaster. What do you think, folks? You think it's real? And I don't know. I do believe that an EMP could come and could wipe out a lot of our stuff. There's no doubt about it. We've had storms like that in the past, and it hasn't been so brutal because we haven't had near the amount of electronics out in the field, if you will, right? So it hasn't been near as catastrophic as it could be. Will that happen? It may. I don't know. The problem that I have with it is the alarmist nature of the stories. I don't want to be the guy that acts like the end of the world's coming. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, peddles fear. But I also don't want to be the guy that buries my head in the sand that ignores real concerns. So how do we deal with this? In my opinion, the way we deal with this is very simple. We don't act like the sky is falling. We don't panic people with paranoia porn. We don't peddle fear. We don't foster fear everywhere. We do what's right. We do what's right to tell the truth. And the truth is that, hey, there could be a severe storm that caused us real problems. That isn't a game. That isn't peddling fear to articulate that this could be a serious threat. An EMP is something that we should watch for and guard against. I agree with that. But what do we do about it might be the question. And what I don't like about this headline is this could be literally the end of the world as we know it kind of statements. I appreciate WND. They do a great job. They're one of the best reporting organizations on the planet. I mean, if there's three places I think you can get real solid news from, it's WND.com, The Epic Times, and The New American. I mean, I'm telling you right now, those three incredible news services provide real value. Need2know.news is a great one that collates a lot of great information. G. Edward Griffin and crew there, too. Those are the four top news organizations that I look at these days. Daily Wire, Breitbart are on the list as well. All right. But I don't like the fear that's kind of peddled in this discussion. I believe it's counterproductive. I really do. I don't know that it's very helpful. It's discouraging, too. And it creates panic. I don't want to create panic. What I want you to do, if you believe that things are unsafe in our world and that there's threats out there, it's appropriate to do a risk-reward analysis. It's appropriate to assess the concern. There's no doubt about that. I don't have any problem with any of that. But then what do we do about it? And the answer, in my opinion, is we slowly but surely make moves to improve our situation. And at first, it might seem like, hey, we're not making much progress. I agree. But it doesn't have to happen all at once, right? And I think that if we turn to God and repent, I don't think there's anything that can take the place of that, by the way. If we turn to God and repent, and then if we work on preparedness steadily, you'll look back over a number of years and go, you know, I was just doing a teeny bit at a time, but wow, what a difference it makes, right? That's what you'll start to think in your mind and say, as it should be. So I really want to say there, it could be a multi-trillion dollar damage solar storm coming. And you know what? It could be the end of the world as we know it. But I would like to focus more on what is within my control to deal with or to do something about. That's really, to me, where the rubber meets the road, right? Because if it's beyond my ability to do something about it, it's just panicking and fear for nothing. If it's what can I do to prepare over time within my own means, that's wise preparedness. So what I'm trying to really get at is I want to avoid the extremes. And I want to focus on what we would call provident kind of living. It's good to want to prepare. It's good to want to be self-sufficient. Those are wonderful qualities that we should foster for sure. And if there's panic or a concern, we ought to be aware of it and acknowledge it. But we ought not fall into fear. We ought to proceed with faith in Almighty God and do everything within our power and trust in God for the rest. You game? All right, there's an incredible NFL player speaking out. It's a bombshell article. I'll tell you about it in seconds. The NFL in the news. Not for a flattering reason either. We'll tell you about it on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission, morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off, with America surrendering to terrorists. Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, I teased the headline before the break. Here it is. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, a bombshell. NFL secretly administering derided COVID drugs. And then he goes on and he says, if science can't be questioned, it's propaganda. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. If science can't be questioned, it's propaganda. The article's in WND.com. The article's all over the internet. But treatments for COVID-19 incorporating hot-button drugs such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine literally being secretly adopted and administered by the NFL and other huge sports leagues. That's what Aaron Rodgers says. So Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I got COVID. It's well known. And I took ivermectin. Call it horse poop if you want to. Don't care. The fact is I got well quickly. And players all across the country are getting well quickly because of these miracle drugs. And then he talks about Joe Rogan. And he says, I took my cue from Joe Rogan, one of the greatest podcasters on Spotify. I took my cue from Joe Rogan and I got well. Joe got well. Now, Sam Bushman, myself, I got well. So what Aaron Rodgers is telling you is the truth. The narrative of the mainstream press on this is falling apart. They called it horse poop. But now we find out, ladies and gentlemen, that not only do they know that's a lie, the FDA in bed with the WTO, in bed with the, I'm sorry, the WHO, World Health Organization, all these groups literally standing silent while they mock ivermectin and other medications that could save lives. Let me say that again, that could save lives. And while they stand silent, here's what's happening. Congress secretly was taking ivermectin. We had reports about this, folks. Dr. Pierre Corey, one of the greatest doctors and scientists that testified before Congress, talked about the value of ivermectin. Okay? And then he found out and discovered that Congress, literally over 100 Congress members, their staffs, and their families were secretly taking ivermectin. Now we find out that sports leagues with these incredible athletes are literally taking ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. These are not fake drugs. If anybody should know the truth and have the doctors that could give you the skinny, it would be the medical people that handle the Congress. It would be the medical people that handle these incredible sports leagues. If anybody's got money to throw at doctors, it's the sports leagues. But Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I took ivermectin, and I don't care what you guys say. I'm not going to back down. You're giving this to people in secret, and the American people need to know about it. If you can't question the science, it's propaganda, he finishes. Do you need more of an indictment than that, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. He was on the XM show. They call it McAfee's Cyrus XM show. Think about that for a minute. This is serious. Rogers was referring to his own highly publicized bout with COVID-19 from which he quickly recovered. It took me a long time to recover because I couldn't get ivermectin at first. It took me a long time to find a doctor. They want the rest of us to die. But the sports teams and Congress knows the truth. But they idly stand by silent. The media knows the truth. How many of these media people are on ivermectin while they let us get mocked? Huh? In the interview, the future Hall of Famer took aim at the censorship and the criticism of COVID-19 vaccines. He says, if science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore, it's propaganda. So he's even taken on those people who are critical of those of us who don't want vaccines. Right? He says, along with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, Rogers was treated through, or for COVID-19 through these monoclonal antibodies. Zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D. Yeah. I'm not some educated person, the Green Bay Packers quarterback continues, who's throwing stuff out there. You can trash me for whatever, but I also got better in 48 hours, so don't talk to me about any of this, he says. And I had symptoms. Anyway, there you have it. Aaron Rodgers doing a great job. I commend him. And the reason I focus so much on this is, look, Joe Rogan stood tall, told the truth. Aaron Rodgers, standing tall, told the truth. Both of them got well quickly because they went on vitamin C. They went on vitamin D. Right? They went on all these things that could make a difference. And they got well quickly. Both of them. Two national figures who tell you that's what the rest of the sports teams are doing and that's what Congress is doing. They both got better. And I add my personal witness. I didn't get better quick like they did because I couldn't get ivermectin. But as soon as I got ivermectin, literally within hours, I was off oxygen, which I could not get off before without my oxygen levels dropping to like 70 in less than 10 seconds. So I got better. Now you've got three testimonies from three public figures. And you know that Congress is doing that. You know that these sports teams are doing that. But are you going to still trust Fauci? Or are you going to trust doctors Pierre Corey and others who are willing to tell the truth? It's all in your hands, ladies and gentlemen. You better figure out what you believe. You better decide what media you're willing to pay attention to. Kevin Montana, you're on the radio.
Hi, Sam. I want to talk to you about COVID and the lockdowns. One of the worst things President Trump ever did, and I'm speaking as someone who voted for him twice, but one of the worst things he ever did was gave money to the states for locking down. My worst fear is states like Montana, who are currently not locked down, will lock down because the government, the federal government, will say, oh, we're going to give you money, but you got to do this, and you've got to lock down. But if we don't give you money, then you're going to get this taken away. What's your take? That's my worst fear.
Well, when you say your worst fear, what do you mean?
Well, I guess my something that I fear, I maybe I shouldn't say my worst fear, but my fear for the economy, my fear for these states, that they're going to get bribed into locking down again. And, if we don't, we'll take the money to repair your roads away. We'll take the money for transportation away. All these threats.
They will try. The question in my mind is how much the American people push back. And I'll give you an example. When guys like me come on the radio and tell you that, hey, ivermectin saved my life. When guys like Aaron Rodgers come on and tell you that, hey, ivermectin saved his life. When Joe Rogan comes on and says, hey, it saved his life. When Congress, over 100 members, their families and their staffs take ivermectin, when the sports teams are taking ivermectin secretly, the more of us that speak out, the more we get wind of the truth, the more Americans are going to push back. And the more Americans push back, the harder it will be for them to peddle that narrative. Time will tell. It's in the balance right now to see what will the courts do on January 7th with the American Family Association, who has literally sued Biden and crew over this. What's going to happen? And all I can tell you is the answer is we win if enough of us stand up. Our numbers are greater. We can win. But will the American people get the truth and demand it and stand up? And not, that, time will tell, Kevin.
Well, the problem is you've got people like my brother out there who's a dentist, and I had a heated discussion with him last weekend about ivermectin, and even mentioned you and mentioned several others. And he goes, oh, just don't go off of that. I go off of the American Medical Association. They're the premier research journal that I read. And I
my response to that is very, very simple. I'll say two things to that. Number one, if the testing has been flawed and they've known it, why have we been told to test for 2 years when we know the testing is not even accurate? Even everybody in government admits it now. Michelle Galinsky, Anthony Fauci, all of them. That's number one. The tests are proven to not be reliable. Second statement that I would make is when it comes to the vaccines, why are we still under experimental use authorization? We were told that they got approval, but none of the approval vaccines are available. How come? And so your dentist, gentlemen, cannot respond to honestly. And if he can, let's have a debate publicly about it then. Let's do it.
I'll give it a try. My brother is just very embedded with the medical, and it isn't just him. It's a lot of doctors I know. And I feel like I'm beating a dead horse when I argue with a lot of people.
Well, and my last point would be,
because they don't listen to alternative media.
My last point would be, if they're so correct on the topic, why are they shutting down voices to the contrary? Why did they, one of the people who created the mRNA technology, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. His name is Dr. Robert Malone. And he's one of the guys that created the mRNA technology. He is concerned about those vaccines to the point where he's questioning their safety. His name is Robert Malone. He's one of the chief doctors. He's even got more creds on this than Fauci by a long shot. He developed the technology. He now is being shut down. My response is, why? Dr. Ben Carson is speaking out against this. And for the most part, he's being shut down. And my question to you is, why? If they're not afraid of the truth and if they're backed by science, let's debate it openly. Let's let both sides of the discussion have their say. That's the genius of the American way. But the fact that they're willing to shut our side down by force tells the story.
Well, I'll tell you the funny thing about this is after I got done making my case, he changed the subject on me. Does that tell you something?
Yeah, he doesn't want to debate the facts. He wants to just peddle propaganda. Yeah. And that's the problem. See, this guy that I mentioned, that's this Green Bay Packers quarterback guy or whatever else, what he's saying about this, what about that? What about him saying that, hey, they make fun of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he's saying they're doing that in secret. Why? Why are they mocking us for these medications, but then for themselves in secret, they're taking them? Why would that be? And I'm going to ask these doctors these hard questions because the truth will be known, right?
Oh, yeah. If my brother ever accepts the truth, I wonder how much cognitive dissonance theory he's going to have if he ever accepts the truth. It's just him. Several doctors that don't want to have this debate that I know.
Well, maybe they'll never accept the truth, but the truth is still the truth. Reality is things as they really are, Kevin.
Oh, I agree with you, Sam, but the problem is a lot of people don't listen to alternative media. When we bring it up, oh, look at the study in the New American. Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist looking on these websites.
Yep, you're right about that, sir.
We've lost the battle.
Well, we'll keep fighting the fight. I'll tell you that right now. No matter how much we win or lose, I'll do my best and leave the rest up to God Almighty, who's in charge. Never forget that. Thanks, Kevin. For Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate, do all you can to help us as we tell the tale of truth. God save the Republic of the United States of America.